everybody. Welcome to the show. Today, we are talking with Kelly Leibold. She is running for District 1, La Crosse County Board of Supervisors. Hi, Kelly. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having
me. So I wanted to start off. We've been talking. You have knocked on a ton of doors in your pursuit of your campaign here. What are people in District 1 saying? What are you hearing?
Yeah, I've been having a lot of positive conversations so far. As we've been knocking on doors, at first we've had people just express their gratitude for us even stopping by. They appreciate putting a face with a name. As a local elected representative, your job is to represent and you need to know your constituents. And so yard signs don't win elections, mailers don't win elections. Those in-person connections you make win elections. So I've had some very great conversations about a variety of issues. And the big underlying theme under every discussion I've had with every constituent I've reached on the door so far is that they appreciate someone stopping by and connecting with them.
Great. And so when you do, are there issues that are really specific to the north side? Are there consistent things you're hearing from your neighbors?
Yeah, I've had a couple people ask me about the affordable housing crisis and the homeless situation here in the city of La Crosse. In the north side, we don't interface with that as directly as other parts of the area, but it is important to remember that some of that isn't as visible or it's hard to interface with. The thing I'm most excited about and that I've been trying to communicate with people as I've been having conversations on doors is the joint city-county plan Pathways Home to address the issue of homelessness and affordable housing in general and connecting people with the resources to ensure they can thrive, not just survive. So it's been nice when talking to people. Not as many people are familiar with what role the county board serves or in general how these programs work. So being that liaison and demystifying the plans and how it's going to work, I think has eased a lot of people's minds.
Do you think that's one of the important jobs of county board to be someone who can explain to your neighbors? Because you live in District 1, you live right there.
Yeah.
Is one of your roles to kind of explain all of the things the county is doing?
Yeah, absolutely. There's something to be said about whether you spoon feed people information or not, but it is important to be an advocate and a liaison. I feel like if anyone on the north side has a question or needs help or needs a connection, their elected representative, be it on county board, be it on city council, be it any other office, people should feel like they have someone to go to. And I've, in the conversations I've had on doors so far and in other organizations, for example, I'm involved with the local Toastmasters Club, and I go to every neighborhood association meeting. These conversations go to show that people want to know what's going on, but they need help making that connection.
There's two roles here. Is A, you're trying to, you called it spoon feed, what the county board would be doing if you're on the county board. Here's what's going on. Here's legislation that's coming up or passed. But also then constituents would have, you know what, I'm worried about this or that, and can the county board do anything about it? So there's kind of a two-way street there, I think.
Right. And people will bring up issues, but then they'll bring up specific situations in their personal lives. For example, one of the conversations I had while door knocking, a neighbor of mine recently had a relative diagnosed with ALS, which is horrible. Anyone who's had a family member go through a health problem knows that it's a huge, complex problem. La Crosse County specifically, through the Health and Human Services Department and other organizations like the Aging, Disability, and Resource Center, they have resources and supports and can help people navigate these really tough life situations. For example, I myself am a brain cancer survivor, so I had to go through the messy process of applying for disability benefits. Well, back in November and January of this past year, the ADRC hosted some workshops on demystifying the process of applying for disability benefits. That's a county resource and a county program that people should know about and take advantage of. Specifically, when I was on the doors talking to this neighbor of mine, she found that information really helpful. And that's just one great example of how we, as county board members, can connect with our constituents and be a support and a resource.
William, did we bury the lead that Kelly is a brain cancer survivor? And
I think that's important to our story, but I'm not sure it's the lead.
Okay.
I'm not sure it's the lead, but I do want to ask more about it.
How long ago was this? What's the story?
Yeah, absolutely. I was diagnosed in late 2016, had treatment in 2017. I lived in southeastern Minnesota at the time, so I doctored at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester. It was really humbling and eye-opening to meet other people in the waiting room that had traveled hours and hours, miles and miles to receive the same care and treatment that I was receiving. Because my brain tumor was in my cerebellum, the part of your brain that deals with vestibular functions, balance, coordination, that sort of thing. To this day, I still struggle with some of those issues. I thankfully have returned to full-time work for about a year now, and I've I've been so grateful for the support system that surrounded me during that time. Through treatment and after treatment, it really makes you stop and think when you see someone on the street. Sure, they may look fine, but you have no idea what complex medical history or any other personal history they've been through. One of the first things I learned about La Crosse County, specifically when it comes to ADRC, the Aging, Disability, and Resource Center, is they recently published a resource guide. So it lists information on housing, food assistance, veteran services, transportation. And at the time going through what I went through, it would have been so helpful to have that one-stop shop guide of resources and supports available to me. My brain cancer experience just makes me be compassionate to my neighbors and understand that, you know, we're stronger when we have our support systems.
And I think you answered this a little bit, but I want to push a little more on it. As a brain cancer survivor, how do you take that experience into a political realm like the county board?
As a county board member with the medical history that I've had, it always makes me stop and be compassionate. The county, the city, other entities are doing this really important work that may impact people. And if you take certain services and supports away, you're really hurting people that you may not see or understand until you know what their medical history is like. For example, when I had this conversation with my neighbor about a relative who had been diagnosed with ALS, you could just see the pain in her eyes and how much they had to navigate. And as a county board candidate talking about these programs, she was so relieved to know that someone was able to help her navigate and walk through some of these resources. In general, my experience, because I still struggle with fatigue and balance issues, I have to pay attention to my body, be compassionate with myself, and that extends to the community around me. I need to be compassionate with my neighbors and with my fellow community members.
Did what you went through and learning about the Aging and Disability Resource Center, was that motivation for you to run for county board and just like, hey, this thing happened, this thing is here, nobody knows about it, I should run for county board and let everyone else know about it? Or was there more motivation?
Yeah, well, and that's just one piece of the puzzle. There's so many great programs and resources that the county helps. And as my main motivation to run for county board was to be that liaison and that advocate. I want to connect with my neighbors. I want to help uplift and highlight these great programs that are already happening. For example, the county library branches across the county are doing great work as well. I mentioned that I'm a member of the local Toastmasters Club. Well, back in August and September of this past year at the Onalaska Library Branch, which the county manages, the local Toastmasters Club did a series of public speaking workshops where they talked about, these are the speaking mechanics and this is how to write a speech outline. And that is a really unique, interesting program at one of the library branches. So county libraries have all this interesting programming too that I don't think people are as aware of or that they can take advantage of these programs.
I think somebody invited me to that and I took offense because I was a talk show host and they're
right,
like, hey, you could speak better.
How on earth do I need this?
Like, I am a perfect speaker. What are you all talking about?
You know, we didn't see you at the Toastmasters open house last night either.
No, I didn't go. On top of that, so you're promoting being a liaison. What about the more important, like what kind of issues do you have with the county board? Do you have any like, you know what, the county board needs to do more of this or shouldn't be doing this? I don't know. Do you have any of that? Have you deep dove into county board issues that much to see what's going on?
Yeah, one of the county programs that I'm really excited about, specifically that impacts the north side here, is they used 2023 ARPA funds to fund and robust one of the workforce development centers in the Boys and Girls Club on the north side here. At, I believe it was our December Neighborhood Association meeting, we were talking about scholarship opportunities for students at Logan High School to pursue a career in the trades. And the Boys and Girls Club on the north side is a great resource, and the county was very deliberate in deciding how to allocate their ARPA funds and how it can benefit the most people and do the most effective, impactful work. And as they allocated those ARPA funds, they identified that, yes, expanding the workforce center in the Boys and Girls Club would be a great benefit and help provide some of that training to kids already utilizing that program. There are a lot of other county initiatives that I'm excited for. For example, the Hillview Nursing Home, they're going to be expanding and renovating as well. And for those unfamiliar with the format of a nursing home, it's my understanding they're going to transition it in a way that it's not as sterile and hospitalized of a setting. There's going to be more shared spaces and more programming like transitional housing for folks experiencing homelessness. And the Hillview Center is going to be much more robust, offer a lot of great community services. And the fact that La Crosse County has the capacity to step in and expand and do those things just means that La Crosse County is better serving its community members.
One of the interesting things about that, is, and I think they're still looking at it, is they're going to have an integrated
daycare
yeah. where seniors and children are in a daycare together. It sounds weird to say seniors in a daycare, but and I always advocated that we add Cooley Region Humane Society and get some of the
the animal puppies in there as well.
Anyway, go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask, so as a leader, like on the county board, how on earth do you make a decision? Like something needs to happen or someone brings you a proposal. How do you evaluate proposals and say, this is good for a community, this is not good for a community? What's kind of your rubric for decision making on that?
Yeah, I think historically in the past, La Crosse County has done a phenomenal job of getting that pulse of the community, getting a lot of input. Specifically, we talked about ARPA funds a little bit earlier. The county board was very deliberate and spent months and months talking about how they're going to disperse those ARPA funds and where it will be most effectively used. I think in the La Crosse County Board capacity, you need to be very connected with your constituents and understand their needs and their concerns. And when you're in the process of this decision-making process, you're really taking all of that into account. I do not hold the La Crosse County Board position on an island. I'm here because of those who would elect me, and I need to make sure that I am communicating with my constituents to make sure that their needs are being addressed as well. So a lot of that community input is strongly needed when making these decisions.
So I wanted to ask, you are running against Bill Feehan. He's one of the election deniers, one of the fake electors from Wisconsin. Now, this is a nonpartisan race, so we don't have to deal with like Republicans and Democrats here or anything like that. But how are you thinking about your competition in this race?
Specifically, when I think about my opponent, I do think he's a little out of touch with what folks on the north side care about and are impacted by. My opponent and other people in this race are using a lot of fear mongering and spreading disinformation. And I think that's really disingenuous to not only the work of the county board, but what support and needs the constituents have. I think my opponent has spent a lot of time focusing on issues that either La Crosse County or specifically District 1 is not as impacted by. For example, my opponent loves to talk about roads, but there are no county roads in the parameters of District 1, which he is running to represent. So in general, I think any candidate for any office should prioritize connecting with their constituents and parsing out what those needs and what those concerns are.
Well, how do you balance being a representative of District 1 and also representative of the entire county? I mean, if you're going to say there's no county roads, therefore we don't need to fund roads, that doesn't work because obviously the county has a responsibility for roads. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No,
and
that's
I'm not saying the county doesn't do that because they're spending $14 million on roads this year. So the idea that the county isn't funding roads is kind of ridiculous because I think maybe right. they're spending too much on roads and maybe not enough on other things. But there's a balancing act there between being a District 1 rep and a county board rep of the entire county.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point to make. You have to have both perspectives in mind. How can you serve your district and how can you serve the county as a whole in that capacity? What's great about the road funding specifically, like you said, that huge figure, the reason that more road funding wasn't allocated is because La Crosse County physically didn't have the staff to carry out the projects that they wanted to fund. So it's great that La Crosse County not only has a low tax burden, but is able to fund infrastructure like roads. But again, you do make a good point. You go into this office not only thinking about your district, but having that countywide perspective. And I have been very fortunate to be mentored by a couple incumbent board members, and I'm so fortunate that's given me that more broad county perspective about all the different communities collectively that make the La Crosse region a great place to work and live.
Are there needs in the district that did I miss that? Did we talk about that? Are there needs in District 1 that you think, you know, the county board could be utilized to help the district in this regard or in the county in general?
Yeah. In general, I don't think it's anything super duper county board specific, but a lot of folks on the north side rely on public transportation. For example, a few weeks ago, the city of La Crosse had their transit week where there were some free transit opportunities. And I know that some elected officials had office hours on city buses. The great thing I love about the north side, again, is a lot of it is walkable. As we've been out doing doors and as I've been connecting with constituents, I've been walking most everywhere. So one example that comes to mind for me when you talk about specifically what the north side needs more of is the people are transportation focused.
Now, you mentioned brain cancer and you get fatigued. Are you getting in shape better from doing all this door knocking or what?
Yeah,
it's good exercise.
Or is that like hard on you and you have to, you know, have to take it easy? Or can you? I don't know. How does that affect you?
Yeah, I'm sure you both can agree with the mentality of wanting to accomplish it all and do it all.
I mean, you're talking to a couple of really fit guys in here.
It does make me have to step back and pay attention to my body and not overdo myself. We've been walking to most of our doors and doing most of our doors that way. But there are nights where I have to come home and recover. Again, loop back full circle to treating yourself and others with compassion. You don't know what anyone is dealing with by just looking at them. I've been very fortunate to be in the position that I am, where I have a really strong, robust support system. People who care about me and are looking out for me and making sure that I'm not spreading myself too thin either way. But again, as a brain cancer survivor, that is top of mind every once in a while. I get scan anxiety when I have to go in for scans again. I struggle with fatigue, so you don't see me when I go home tonight and have to rest and recover. That life experience of mine, I'm so fortunate to be a 7-year brain cancer survivor.
Is there another part of you that's... I imagine you went in and someone told... I don't know how you get diagnosed with brain cancer because like nobody's scanning my brain. So maybe you had symptoms and then they scan your brain.
Yeah.
And then I imagine immediately you think you're going to die because it's brain cancer. I don't know this for...
Yeah.
If someone told me you have brain cancer, like immediately I'd be like, oh my God, I'm going to die.
Well,
or it's going to be very hard. Now, when you're trying to run for office, I was on this life-threatening thing and now I want to accomplish all the things, right? Like if you had a day to live, what would you want to accomplish? I imagine a little bit of your mentality is that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And specifically in my case, I was 20 when I was diagnosed. I had nausea for about a month, along with some dizziness and lightheadedness. A CT scan found the tumor on a Tuesday afternoon, and that Thursday morning I was in emergency brain surgery. The tumor was growing to the point where it was cutting off the other ventricles of fluid, and so I had to go into emergency brain surgery. It would have been the next day, but they were pretty busy, so they pushed it back a day. Because of the phenomenal care I received at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, I had proton beam radiation treatments, followed by chemotherapy, but all of that obviously takes a toll on your body, combined with where the brain tumor was. So, long story short, it just makes me pay attention to my body, treat myself with compassion, and treat others with compassion.
Right, and live every day like it's your last or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Absolutely.
I think that's true, though. I think someone that goes through something like that versus me that doesn't have that experience, I imagine you think about that a lot.
But also having that experience means that you're able to kind of, as you've been saying, look at other people and say, hey, how can I make your life easier? What can I do for you? How can I be of service when other people were of service to you before? So, as we wrap up, is there anything you want to say? Anything, any other last minute things we've missed?
Well, one thing I know is as you're door knocking and I talked to like Steve Doyle the other day and I go, what's the best way to get to know people? And he's like, he said door knocking. I go, come on, man. Is that just the old, because that's the easiest thing to say, but I understand apparently that is the best way to get to know people and tell people you're running for office. But like, how else? How else can they see what you're promoting or what you're about or you know, what your priorities are and to get to know you if they don't see you at their door, you know?
Yeah, I firmly believe that engaged citizens make for strong communities outside of the political world. I really care about the North Side and try to be involved in as many ways as possible. As I mentioned, I'm involved with the local Toastmasters Club. I am the president of the local Toastmasters Club. And Toastmasters, for those unfamiliar, is an organization focused on public speaking and communication skills. And because Toastmasters is an international organization, there are clubs everywhere. The La Crosse Toastmasters Club was the first club chartered in the state. As soon as I knew I'd be moving to the La Crosse area 2 years ago or so, the first thing I did was I looked for my local Toastmasters Club because I knew those are where my people would be. I also have been attending my neighborhood association meetings because in general, I want to know what's going on and get to know my neighbors. I am so glad that I have the opportunity through Toastmasters, through the neighborhood association, through other organizations to really feel like I am a part of my community, that I am giving back to others.
Great. Well, Kelly, thank you so much, and we wish you well on your campaign here. The La Crosse County Democratic Party meets the third Monday of every month at our office space at 2318 State Road, right across the street from Giovavino. You can find out everything the party is doing on our website, laxdems.com. My email is chair@laxdems.com. Have a great day.